This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Always a pleasure to chat.
Absolutely. Let's start with the latest US inflation figures, which came out a little earlier. Higher than hoped, certainly dashing hopes that price pressures might have cooled more quickly. The numbers, the US consumer prices index rose by 8.3% in the year to August. That's down on July's 8.5%, but actually missing forecasts of a drop to 8.1%. So what was the market reaction to this news? Disappointing?
Very much so. The initial reaction, you saw that any chance of the Fed downshifting to a slower pace of tightening and going with a half point rate increase, that just completely went away. This inflation reading, it's a setback. It's not a reversal. It does not mean we're going to see a fresh high. And I think what you're probably going to see is, you know, the markets are, they got rattled. And Wall Street was very confident that you were going to see three more rounds of rate hikes. The expectation that a 75 basis point increase for the September 21st meeting, that got etched in stone. And now, you know, there's, you know, some debate. And I think markets, they're volatile, but, you know, they're around 30% thinking that it could be a full point rate increase next week. And, you know, but the big takeaway is that it looks like the Fed has a lot more tightening to do. It means we could see 75 in September, 75 in November, and it's unlikely the Fed will, you know, really be reducing that pace dramatically in December, which will suggest that you could make the argument that, you know, we're not going to see a Fed pause at the end of the year. February will likely lead to another rate hike. So we got a lot more tightening. And I think the market was getting, you know, complacent and comfortable that, you know, the Fed was only going to take rates up to 4%. Now it looks like it's going to go a lot higher. And that's why we saw, you know, stocks had the worst day in 2 years and, you know, King Dollar reigned supreme. And you really are seeing, you know, it was a de-risking moment on Wall Street. Commodities, cryptos, everything got hit hard.
Meanwhile, Ed, oil is in a volatile place at the moment, isn't it? After those falls that we saw in recent weeks, today Brent crude up 2.5%, WTI up 3% as we speak, and it seems to be going north rather than south at the moment.
Oil volatility has been rather extreme. I think that, you know, yesterday's move lower was on concerns the U.S. economy is potentially headed towards a recession, and that you were going to see the rest of the world remain aggressive with tightening policy. And it was just a terrible outlook for growth globally. And that's why oil was lower. And today, get a couple major announcements. Number one, I think a lot of people were surprised that the Biden administration was relaxing some of the offshore drilling guidelines that they have put in place. And then also the big wild card, China easing lockdowns. That's been the key to oil, Chinese demand. You know, it seems like it's been in free fall, but Chengdu is easing their COVID restrictions gradually. And this is, you know, providing a bright spot for, you know, demand for, you know, one of the biggest oil consumers in the world. So I think that the oil market is still tight. China is not shutting down. And while global demand forecasts continue to get downgraded, I think just given where oil production is, given, you know, how much time it's going to take for these new oil wells that are going to get put in place, or rigs, you're going to have a tight market for the foreseeable future. So I think we've seen oil rally nicely here, and that's one of the key commodity trades that people are focusing on right now.
And we've seen inventories rise. Is that a factor in this rise in the price?
It was a modest rise, but I think, you know, what a lot of people were focused on was, you know, we're seeing demand really take a hit here. Gasoline demand is at the lowest seasonal level since 1997. Jet fuel demand, you know, just weakening below the 2021 seasonal level. So there's been obviously a hit here with how much energy or crude is being consumed. I think the gasoline stockpiles are at an 8-year seasonal low. So I mean, demand's weakening, supplies are still not at a comfortable level. Distillates saw a surprise build, so I think that is something that is giving some relief, that people were nervous that we weren't going to have enough supplies heading into the winter. But overall, I think you're seeing an oil market that production stayed steady. We're going to see tight conditions still, and as a lot of this oil shortfalls abroad are going to lead to greater demand here in the U.S., I think you're probably going to see that the oil market should find a comfortable floor, WTI at $85. So I think the chances of it trading 90 to 95 are probably elevated here, and with Brent trading through that $100 level pretty frequently.
Okay, Ed, let's now talk cryptocurrency. Crypto pretty weak at the moment, and we've also got this Ethereum merge, which we talked about last week. That's ongoing.
Very much so. This is it. This is the week we've it's been a couple of years in works, and now it's everyone's waiting to see when this merge gets complete and what will happen. And I think the true test is, do we continue to see a strong participation rate? That would mean the validators that confirm these transactions, are they still able to perform on this new upgraded network? And I think there's strong optimism that that's going to be the case, even if, let's say, there are some major road bumps. If, let's say, a lot of the network doesn't make it through this merge, Ethereum's still gonna it's still gonna be functioning. It's gonna keep chugging along. I think the most likely worst case scenario is that you'll see, degraded performance, which means a lot of people will have to update their configurations, or they'll have to, reboot their nodes. So I think there's probably a growing argument here that this has been heavily tested. What's going to be fascinating is, once it is complete this week, it's going to be fairly quickly that we'll find out, possibly in like the first few minutes, if the network is able to produce these blocks, which now are going to happen every 12 seconds, whereas before it was basically on demand. So we'll quickly it'll find out, I think within that like first half hour, whether or not it's going well. That I think is going to be a key, positive fundamental development here for cryptos. And I think that even if there are, let's say, things are just not functioning, and Ethereum stops, you'll probably see it down for several hours. But I think in the end, there's no going back on this merge. So this is happening. This is something that will make room for developers to focus on other projects now. And people that were reliant on mining, as this is less energy intensive, this is, they're going to have different missions now. I think this is still going to be a very positive catalyst. But the problem is, everyone thought that, the hedge funds were aggressively buying options a couple months ago, and now they're, this is profit taking. So a lot of people were anticipating that this Ethereum merge would trigger a sell the news type reaction, sell the event type reaction. And this is probably why, in conjunction with the terrible risk appetite mood on Wall Street over the past 48 hours, you're seeing, Ethereum got hit pretty hard. But I think that once we're beyond this merge, whatever short-term weakness, that probably will be short-lived. So I think it's a very good development here for Ethereum. I think it's still going to be, second place. Bitcoin's dominance remains intact. The flippening, which is for when you see changing of the guard, where some overtake Bitcoin with that, the lion's share of the market cap. Ethereum is still well behind. It's about half of what Bitcoin has, 40% or roughly 20% market share. But Ethereum will probably make some progress, I think, in the coming years.
Very interesting, Ed. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we will speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
This is the Oanda Podcast.